This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. Our message for this session was first published back in the month of June of the year 2014. And it's being put on audio in the month of October of the year 2024. And our subject scripture is found in Isaiah chapter number 11. Verse number 6. And if you have the scripture available, you will find these words recorded. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The title for this message is, "And a child shall lead them, another view." In August of last year, I wrote a message using this same subject scripture and title. So as you can see, I added something to the end of it so that you can see the difference. From time to time, this type of thing may occur because every scripture in the Bible is open to different interpretations that are in line with what God has to say about our lives. What needs to be made clear is this. The interpretation is valid as long as it does not contradict other scriptures in the Bible. Many people, both saved and unsaved, have a tendency to read certain parts of the Bible and form opinions or interpretations on what they mean, while at the same time completely ignoring the rest of the Bible. The problem with this type of mindset is that in just about every case, their opinion is out of line with what God says because they are not fully aware of what God wants us to know. If a policeman were to investigate a crime and he ignored even one piece of evidence, the result could be an innocent person is sent to prison, or a guilty person could be set free. Well, the same holds true with the Word of God. You can't form opinions on part of what God says. You have to know all of what God says about any issue in order to arrive at the correct conclusion. That means you have to study the entire Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 15 and 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 16, being led by the Holy Spirit in order to stay within the path that God wants you to walk in. Anything outside of this will lead to disaster. God is not going to change what He said and meant because of our misinterpretation, no matter who or how many of us there are. If the entire world forms the wrong opinion, then the entire world will have to pay the price for it. Now, getting back to the message. Last year, I addressed the interpretation of this same scripture, which dealt with just exactly what the term a little child meant in regards to that particular moment in time when, as the scripture says, peace will reign on the earth. What I am going to address here, however, is using another view of the same highlighted part of the same scripture above to show you a trick that the enemy is using against us concerning our most precious legacy, our children. We all know, as parents, we have an obligation to raise our children as best we can and to make sure that everything we do will be for the betterment of their lives. We are dedicated to their well-being. We will do whatever we can to protect them from all sorts of dangers, to the point that we will sacrifice our lives just to save theirs. Why? Because they are essentially dependent on us because they can't defend themselves. Besides that, it is because we love them, because they are a part of us. In the animal kingdom, you will see the very same thing with animals going out of their way to protect their young when threatened, even to the point of possibly being killed. Well, while all of this is honorable, there are those that, knowing how we feel about our children, will use tactics to get us to do what they want us to do by getting us to perceive a threat that is not real, or blinding us to a real threat to our children. Essentially, they will use our love of and for our children to lead us to our own destruction. Here are a few examples. Environmentalism. For over 50 years, environmental groups have been warning us that the earth is warming up as a direct cause of the actions of mankind, and if we don't do anything to change our actions, our children will end up suffering in the future. Now, no self-respecting parent would want our future legacy to suffer. So, we will be seeking advice as to how we can halt this problem before it is too late. Not for us, but for them. And who do we go to for this advice? The same ones that issued the warning. And it seems logical, because if they are warning us of the danger, then they must have solutions to the problem. And what are these solutions? Well, since the problem is the result of the internal combustion engine, the main source of power for over 98% of all of the trucks, cars, boats, planes, trains, and so on, we need to force them to conform to certain standards that will reduce the output of carbon dioxide that is supposedly destroying the ozone layer of the earth, allowing more of the sun's ultraviolet rays to penetrate the earth and thus warming it up. Logical solution, I would admit. The problem is this. Their solution is resulting in the loss of millions of jobs in the industries that not only produce these products, but depend on them as well. How so? Because with new regulations comes more cost for research and development. Technology to make these vehicles meet those standards, which inevitably will result in higher prices on those products. This will result in lower demand for them, which will then result in loss of jobs. But what is that if it will mean a better future for our children? Well, first of all, let's look at the evidence they, the environmental crowd, are giving us to go along with that warning. First, they are saying that the earth is warming up as a direct result of man's actions, meaning global warming is man-made. This means if we made it, we can change it. However, we have to do it quickly, or else it will be too late. They quote studies of how the average temperature of the earth, how they get that, I don't know, has increased by so many degrees over the past 50 or so years. They point to the melting of the polar ice caps in Antarctica, the droughts all over the country, the drying up of a lot of rivers, the violent storms, extreme cold temperatures that we are experiencing as proof of what they are saying. Now, what they are doing is playing on our emotions. With a sense of urgency, they don't want you to research or think about what they are saying. It is all about the children. To do otherwise shows that you are a bad parent that doesn't care about the future kids. The facts are, before man inhabited the earth, historically, the earth has had at least four periods in its billion or more years of existence that were termed as an ice age. In each case, for there to have been that many, the earth had to warm up enough for one age to end before another could start. So the question is, if the earth has been doing this on its own before man was here, then why should we be acting as if this hasn't happened in the past and that it is our fault? The fact of the matter is, we are losing millions of jobs that will not be there for our children when they grow up based on a lie. Another area is gun control. With the rash of school shootings, kids killing each other or themselves with guns, there is a push by those that say that they are concerned for the safety of our kids, that want the government to enact strict laws as to who can purchase a gun and what types are available for consumers to purchase. Once again, it seems reasonable. After all, if the life of one child can be saved, so we reason, it is worth the trouble. The problem is, if you only take their side of the story and once again act on emotion, you will not see the whole picture. What we need to be looking at is what I call a deterioration of moral values in the nation, which leads to situations where people have no respect for themselves, let alone others. Depending on the environment a child is raised in, what schools they attend, their family and friends, and what they are exposed to on the tube and other places, you have a recipe for disaster. But we don't want to address this area first. We want to get rid of the very things that, over the past, have saved the lives of people that were armed when they were attacked on the street or in their homes by those that wanted to take their lives. The mere fact that after several school shootings where kids were victims, our response to arming the teachers or placing armed personnel in the schools is to call such an action ludicrous. By nature, people that don't have any respect for their own lives will usually attempt to do whatever they want without regard for their own safety. However, they will usually take the safer path when it comes to who they choose for victims. An unarmed or unprotected target is just up their alley. Think about this. How many times have you seen a criminal walk up to a policeman in full uniform and try to rob or kill them? Not many. Why? Because they see that weapon strapped on their side. Yet the idea of allowing people to carry a weapon in plain view to protect our children is somehow crazy. What is interesting, neither of these groups that are so concerned about our children have a problem with abortion, which essentially is the killing of a child in the womb. But they are so concerned about that same child if it makes it out of the womb. If that isn't hypocrisy, I don't know what is. In other words, if the child is in the long as the child is in the mother's womb, people say she has a right to abort the baby anytime she gets ready to. It's in her womb. She's the parent. She can be able to do what she wants to do, and I support her for that. But you let that child be born, and say, for instance, let's say that the woman decides she wants to kill the child. Now, all of a sudden, they want to arrest her for child abuse and murder and put her on trial for capital punishment and all that other stuff. Well, what's the difference? Just the location of where the child was when it was killed. Then we have public education. One of the main tools these and other groups use to our devotion to our kids to get us to do what they want is our public schools, especially in urban areas. These groups figure that the best way to get society to do what they want is to begin indoctrinating our children to think like they want them to think, and thus change the condition of society from the ground up. It is easier to do it that way than to try changing the minds of the older generations that are set in their ways. What they do is start teaching our children things that the children will come home and get their parents to help them with, like homework, and projects that will put the parent on the spot to either help or hinder their child's progress in school. If a child comes home from school with some sort of homework or project that says that they need to make sure that their home is environmentally efficient or a safe place where there are no dangers like guns in the house, or that their parents don't have outdated views on things like family and marriage or even discipline, what is a loving parent to do? If the parent rejects these things, then the child will fail and be an outcast among other students, making them the target of bullying. What parent wants that? so they go along for the child's sake. When it is an election season, once again, the public schools will send the kids home to tell their parents why they should vote for a certain candidate, which, once again, supports the programs and views of these and other groups whose agenda is destroying our lives, all for the sake of our kids. Not to mention, it is destroying our kids' future as well. Have you noticed how many of our kids who graduate from school and college still can't find a decent paying job? You can thank these groups for that. Their reasoning is, if the parent won't listen to these groups and do what they want them to do, then maybe they will listen to their children. In other words, get the child to lead them. I could go on and on with examples, but you get the picture. The one thing these and other groups have in common is that they all support the same political party, Democrats, and it is this party that legislates the laws these groups want to see passed. Every piece of legislation that they put into law is based on lies and half-truths that in the long run will harm our children, the ones that they claim to be protecting. The Bible says there is a way that seems right, it's the right thing to do, but it will end up destroying those that walk in it. That's paraphrasing Proverbs chapter 14 and 12 and Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 25. And part two, for next month, because this is a two-part message. So this is the first part, and we're going to get into part two, and then I'll make a single commentary for the both parts. So until we get together again for another message from the Word of God, let me just say to you and yours, may God bless you and your families real good. Good day.